The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Yeshiv Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv Be'eretz Kanaan. Yaakov dwelled in the land of this father, Eretz Canaan, which is Eretz Yisrael. Ela told this Yaakov, these are the generations of Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvasrei Shono, Hoyo, Rea Sechov Batson. Yosef was 17 years old. He was a shepherd, together with his brothers, in the sheep of his father, Vuhunar, Esbenei Vilov, Esbenei Zilpo, Nesheoviv. He was particularly good friends of the sons of the Shvoches, of the maidservants of Yaakov, Bilo and Zilpa. Vayove Yosef es dibosom ro el avihem. Yosef would bring bad tidings about his brothers to his father. Mi Yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol bonov. In Yisrael, Yaakov loved Yosef from all of his sons. Kiven zukunim hulao. He was the son of his older age. Ve'oselek senes pasim. And he made for him a coat of many colors. And his brothers saw that the father loved him more than any of the other sons. And they hated him. And they could not speak peacefully with him. And then the Torah tells us of the dreams of Yosef. First he had a dream, and there were all types of sheaves of grain on the field, and all of the sheaves that belonged to the others bowed down to his sheaf. And then he had another dream, and there was the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, and they all bowed down to him. The sun would represent the father, the moon the mother, the 11 stars the 11 other brothers. And this only made his brothers hate him more. They said, "Amolech timlech aleinu, are you going to reign as a king over us? Imoshal tim shel bonu, will you rule over us?" Yosifu otz neyesei, and they hated him even more. And his father, Shomar esadover, he said, "Halavai, it should take place one day." But Vayigarba, he would rebuke Yosef because he did not want to create additional hatred. Then the Torah tells us that they hated him so much that when he came, Yosef came, he was sent on a mission by his father to see how they're doing. When they saw him coming, they started to plot how to kill him. One said to the other, "The dreamer is coming. Let's kill him. And we will throw him into one of the pits, and we will say that a wild beast ate him, and see what happens to his dreams." And Reuven was the man of the hour. He stood up and he said, "Leinakeno nofesh, we will not smite a living being." Al tishpuchu dom hashlichu yisrael abor azeh. He says, "Do not kill him. Just throw him into the pit. And we should not take his life." And the Torah testifies that, I mean, what would be the difference? You throw someone in a pit in the middle of the field, in a far off place, he'll also die. The Torah testifies that Reuven said this, "Laman hatzilei soy miyodem lashiv al aviv." His plan was to come back and then save him. And this they did. And Reuven had to go away. They threw him into the pit. Then Reuben had to go away. Then it tells us, Vayeme Yehuda elach echov. Yehuda said to his brothers, Ba betza ki nare gesochinu vechisinu asdomai. What will we gain by killing him? In other words, leaving him to die. Vechuvenim kerenu vayishma'elim. Vyodein al tivay. Ki ochinu basareinu hu. Let us sell him, because there was a caravan of Arabs coming, merchants. Let us sell him as a slave, and we should not cause him any harm, because he is our own brother, our own flesh. And this is what they did. And Joseph was sent down to Egypt. Now this is the story. There are many questions we can ask. Firstly, what does it mean Yosef, who was known as Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef the righteous, is Dibosam Ra, he would bring evil tidings, Loshon Hara, slander against his brothers. Secondly, why was it that Yisrael, that Yaakov loved Yosef more than any of the other sons? What is the meaning that he made for him a coat of many colors? Fourthly, it is true the brothers were jealous of him. The father had singled out Yosef, but it seems awful strange that this hatred should bring them to murder. Where they plotted to kill him. I mean, for brothers to kill another brother, that is going to quite an extreme. And especially when I'm speaking here about the Yud Beis Shvatim, the 12 sons that would be to become the 12 tribes of Israel, on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies, Kulam Tzadikim, Kulam Giborim, Kulam Noim, they were all righteous. Another question, what was the meaning of the dreams of Yosef? Another question, we find two individuals of the brothers explicitly named in the episode where they tried to kill him, that these two stood up to save him. One was Reuben. Reuben says, why should we kill him? Throw him in a pit. And he had in mind that he will come back and let him out of the pit. And then Yehuda said, why should we leave him to die? He's our brother, our flesh and blood. Let us sell him. So we see Reuben and Yehuda were the ones that were specifically mentioned in saving Yosef. Why? What is the meaning of this? Then we can ask further. Yosef was sold to Egypt, and for 22 years he suffered. For a year, the Medrash tells us, the Medrash here, and we drosh him later on, tells us that for a year he worked in the house of Potiphar. He was a slave in the house of Potiphar, states Babayish Ubasoda, in the house and in the fields, 6 months in the house and 6 months in the field. 12 years he was in the prison, and he was thrown into the Beis Asurim. Supposed to be there for 10 years, the Medrash tells us. He ended up an extra 2 years because he leaned and relied a little too much on the Saramashkim, on the butler, who was also in the prison, when he got out, that he should help him get out. Now that's 13 years. Now this was 13 years of slavery and of suffering, the prisons of Egypt. Then he was another 19 years as the viceroy to Pare. So this was a total of 22 years. No, excuse me. 9 years. 9 years by Pare. until he was 9 years by Paro, 7 years of famine, the 7 good years and 2 of the years of famine. Now these years were not suffering from the point of view where he was physically deprived. The contrary, he was in the court of Paro, he was a mighty king. He became from the wealthiest men in the world. But nevertheless, he was separated from his family for all of these years. His family never knew his whereabouts. They didn't know who he was. And he was in an alien land, not known to himself. So all of these years, he suffered. Now, for what? What was the purpose of all of this? Then we find the same thing with Yehuda. In the next parsha, in Parshas Vayeshev, but immediately afterwards, it states, "Vayhi bo Esahi," right after the this episode of selling Yosef, "Vayhi bo Esahi, vayered Yehuda meis Echov." And it was at this time that Yehuda went down from his brethren. And he went to another place, and he met a person, Adulami. His name was Chiro. And then the Torah starts telling us he got married, he had children, some of his children died. And then it tells us the story of Tomor. The Midrash says, Rashi says, Loma nismacho parsha zulekan vihifzik beparshose shel Yosef. Why is this parsha brought in right in the middle of the story of Yosef? L'lamed sheheriduhu echov migdulose. When it states vayered, this was a yirido. This was a downfall of Yehuda. They pushed Yehuda down, the brothers, from his greatness. When they saw Tzoras Avihem, when they saw all of the pain that their father was having because they had told their father that Yosef was torn by a wild animal, so they blamed it on Yehuda. They said, "Ma'ato amarta lemochre, you are the one who told us to sell him. Ilo amarta la'shiva hayinu shemim loch. Had you told us to return him to his father, we would have listened to you." So they blamed the whole business on Yehuda. And vayered Yehuda meisachov. Yehuda became an outcast. And he had to go away from the brethren. And no longer was he considered from the prime of the brothers. So we see Yehuda also was punished from this episode. And he was punished and tested with this case of Tomor, which we will speak about soon. But what is difficult to understand there is that they're blaming it on Yehuda. Yehuda was the one who saved them. Yehuda spoke up and they said, "Why should we kill an innocent person? He's our brother. Let us better, we'll sell him. And then our hands will not be guilty from him." So we have all of these questions. Now on this subject that we're speaking about, which is one of the very, very important subjects and prime subjects in the formation of Klal Yisrael, we could speak endlessly on it. Let's try to explain some of the questions this evening, but I'm afraid we won't be able to do justice to all of the questions. But hopefully we'll continue. And those that we will not be able to answer, we'll continue in another shir. We won't be able to continue in next week's shir, because next week's shir will be for Hanukkah. But the following shir is Parshas Vayigash, also dealing with these subjects. So please God, we'll continue then. Now, we've been learning about the Oves, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. These are the pillars and the foundation of Yisrael. Yaakov was the perfection of Avram and Yitzchok. And even though Abraham, who was your first pillar, but he produced the Ishmael, and Yitzchak, who was the second pillar, he produced an Esav. Yaakov, it states, Mitosei Shlema. All of his children were perfect. The perfection of Yisrael, the Gemara tells us, took three generations to come to. And that was with Yaakov and his 12 sons. And therefore his 12 sons became the foundation of the house of Israel, which will be the blessed nation in the world. The Torah testifies and tells us Hashem placed his name on each of the 12 sons. And it says, Kulam Sadikim, they were all righteous. Kulam Giborim, they were all enormously strong. They were all enormously strong spiritually and enormously strong physically. Bekulam Noim, and they were all very, very handsome and beautiful. And all of them together inherited all that Yaakov had. In other words, Yaakov, who reached the perfection of all men. The Torah in last week's Pasha states that Hashem referred to him as Kael. He called him a Lord. And his Mora tells us that Ponav Chakuka Bekise Yaakoved, Tzurose Chakuka, the image of his face was hewed out in the throne of the Almighty himself. All of his attributes, his excellence and his perfection, he imbued to all of his sons. Each one inherited a prat, a specific aspect of Yaakov. Now, from all of the sons, he had not one, but two that were predestined and disposed with the abilities to become great kings, mighty rulers. And not only kings over the house of Israel, but kings over the whole world. And these two were Yehuda and Yosef. And even though it's impossible to have two kings, Morris says you can never have two kings in one house. You can't have two kings in one medina. Eich shnei malachim mishtamshim bekeser echad. Two kings cannot share one crown, because a king is the ruler, is the ruler. So how did this happen in Yaakov's own family, which was the family of perfection? The answer is because generally, the Gemara tells us, the Bechor, the firstborn, rules. He's the Godel Shebabais. He's known as the head of the household when it comes to the children, the firstborn. Yaakov had two firstborns. Now we'll explain. If we look at the broches in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov blessed his sons before he died, and in Parshas Vayechi, in Memches, no, it would be Memtes, it should be Pasuk Ches and onward. There, Yaakov blessed Yehuda as Gur Are Yehuda. He shall be like a lion. Gur means a young lion. Arye is a full-grown lion. Chazal tell us, the beginning he'll be like a young lion, and the end he'll be a full-grown lion. This particular refers to David. David, during the time of Saul, King Saul, He was a young lion. Later he emerged into a great and mighty lion. Now the lion is the Melech HaChayos. Lion is a king and he rules. And this was the brocha that Yaakov was giving to Yehuda. It says, Ish kibirchosai beirach eishoi. He gave each one the brocha which fit him. Gave each one the brocha which each one was predisposed for. He said further, Yishtachavu l'cho b'nei avicho. All of my sons, all of the sons of your father, shall bow to you. He said, L'yosu shevet miyuda. The staff of kingship shall never be removed from Yehuda. Umechekik b'bein raglov. Ad ki yove shiloi. Until Shiloi comes. Who is Shiloi? Rashi tells us, Melech HaMashiach. The ultimate Melech HaMashiach, who will be the greatest king that ever ruled. Now, even before then, Yehuda had great kings. David, Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, that ruled the entire world. But the greatest of all will be Shiloh. Melech HaMashiach. Why is he called Shiloh Shamalucha Shiloh? Because the sovereignty of the whole world will belong to him. This is all from Yehuda. The lo yikas amin. And to him will gather up all of the nations of the world. Now, so we see that Yehuda was blessed with his kingship. Now, why Yehuda? So the Chazal tell us, really it should have been given to Reuven, because Reuven was the Bechor. This was the firstborn of Yaakov, which he had by Leah, his first son. But he took it away from Reuven, because, as it states in the brocha which Yaakov gave to Reuven, on Posuk Dalet, Pachas kamayim al tosar ki oliso mishkirei avicho os chilalto yitzu yolo. After Rochel died, in last week's parsha, and Rochel was the beloved wife of Yaakov, and Yaakov always had his bed in Rochel's tent. After she died, Yaakov took his tent and he moved it into the tent of her maidservant, his other wife, Bilhah. And Reuven became very upset, more than upset. He came furious. And he said that it's not enough that until now my mother Leah had to suffer. She had to suffer this humiliation because of her sister Rochel. And now she will be humiliated by the maidservant of Rochel. So he went and he moved the bed into his mother's tent. And Yaakov chastised this. He criticized this severely, that Reuven would mix into such affairs of his own. And this is what he said, Pachas kamayim al tosar ki oliso mishkevei avicho os chilalto yitzui olo. And because of that, he took away the kingship from Reuven and the rights of the firstborn. And that's why it states in Pasuk Gimel, Reuven becheri ator kechi vereshis eini. Yeses eis v'yeser oz. Reuven, you're my firstborn. You're the first of all of my seed. Yes, it says, for Yeser Oz, Rashi brings in the Chazal, you should have the rights of the firstborn, and you should have the rights of kingship. But because of this enormous Aveda, which was enormous in the eyes of Yaakov, you shall lose it. So it should have gone then to the next son. Who was the next son? Shimon. Not to Shimon, it should have gone to Levi. So on that he said, Shimon ve'Levi, achim, klei chomos mecherisehim. I will not give it to you either, because you're too militant. Klei chomos mecherisehim. The weapons which you carry, you have stolen from Esau. They are not Jewish weapons, they're Esau's weapons. And he criticized and chastised them. He was referring to a number of cases. One case he was referring to was this case of trying to kill Yosef. Because even though Shimon and Levi are not mentioned, but it does say, state in our Pasha, that when they came, when they saw Yosef coming, Vayemru ish el ochiv, one brother said to the other. And the Chazal darshan from there, we don't have time to go into how they learned from there, but they learned from there that this was Shimon said to Levi. They were the instigators. They were very, very militant and also had fierce angers. Another episode is what we had in last week's Parsha, that he singles out with Dinah. When Dinah was abducted and violated by Shechem and Hamor, they rightfully were infuriated and rightfully they were outraged and rightfully reacted. And Yaakov felt they reacted a little too much. He says they should have gone and killed Shechem and killed Hamor and taken the daughter back. Instead, they went and killed off the whole city. So he said that the weapons you carry are kli chomas, were stolen. They're not your weapons. They were stolen from Esau. So he rejected them also. So therefore, the next brother in line was Yehuda. So Yehuda, he gave the kingship to. Yosef, if we look at the brachas of Yosef, well, before we look at the brachas, Yosef also was the firstborn of Yaakov, because Yosef was Rachel's firstborn. She had two sons, Yosef and Binyamin. And not only was he the firstborn from Rachel, but as far as Yaakov was concerned, it was his firstborn. Now, even though the firstborn, his firstborn was Reuven, Reuven was born many years before. Reuven was the first one born when he got married in the house of Laban, and Yosef was the last one born. He was already the 11th son. Made no difference. Yaakov considered Yosef his firstborn because he considered Rachel his beloved wife. Because he came to the house of Laban to marry Rachel, not to marry Leah. And when he married Leah, that's because he was deceived. And therefore, he held Rachel should be have precedence over his other wives, and Yosef would be the firstborn. So therefore, he singled out Yosef. And Yosef also was predestined and predisposed with enormous abilities to become a great king. If we look in his brocha, his father ends up by saying, this is in Posuchov Vovin, Vayechi Memtes, he says, Birchas Avicho Govor Al Birchas Horai Atavas Givos Olam, the brochas of your fathers became even more abundant in the brachas of his father, and they should all fall on your head. Ulakotkeid Nazir Echov, and on your forehead shall be Nazir Echov. Nazir is a crown. On the forehead shall rest a crown which will be over your brethren, that you will be a king over your brethren. The Targum brings on this posuk, he brings Prishudachwe. You will be separated from your brothers. Now this also is a symbol of kingship, because the king is Nivdal Ulamala. The king is separated and above all of the other brothers. And this was the brocha that he gave to Yosef. And we see, it came true. Yosef also became a king, a mighty king. He became a king over Egypt. And he became a king over Paray. Later on, the Midrash tells us that Paray had fear from him. And Paray at that time was the mightiest king in the world. And the Gemara tells us that eventually he ruled over the entire world, because the famine was all over the world. And all of the nations of the world had to come to Yosef and to beg from him and to bow from him to him. And not only that, he ruled over all of his brethren. They had to come and bow to him. And not only that, he even ruled over his father, Yaakov, like he dreamt. Because Yaakov also had to come unto Yosef. It states, Vayechalkel, Yosef is the one that sustained his father. And in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov bows to his son. A father should not bow to his son. So the Chazal say that Tale be'idno sagidle. There's a time when sometimes a fox might become the king of the animals. Then you have to bow to him. In other words, my son is a king over me now. I must bow to him. So we see that Yosef then also was predestined for all of this. Now came the question. If you have two Bechoras, two firstborns, and two that are capable of being mighty rulers, you have a problem. Because you said two cannot be the firstborn and two cannot rule. This was the problem that Yaakov, their father, had. Who to choose? Yaakov decided that he would choose Yosef. It seems from certain sources in Chazal, we'll see maybe later, that the way it eventually sorted itself out is that Yosef became the firstborn, but the Malchus, the kingship, went to Yehuda. Like we see that Malchus Yisrael eventually came from Yehuda. So I'm not sure if this is what Yaakov had in mind to begin with, or it just sorted itself out that way, eventually. But at any rate, Yaakov decided that Yosef is going to be his firstborn, and perhaps he even had hopes in mind that Yosef would become the ruler. Why? First reason, like we mentioned, because he was the firstborn of Rochel, and Rochel was the wife that he came to the house of Laban for. But there were other reasons also. When we mention that every son inherited another aspect of Yaakov, this was true with every other son except Yosef. Yosef didn't inherit an aspect of Yaakov. Yosef inherited all of Yaakov. There was no single son that encompassed so much of his father than Yosef. How do we know to say this? Medrash tells us. Here we're learning in our parsha that Ele told us Yaakov Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov, and then it states Yosef. It should say Ele told us Yaakov. These are the generations of Yaakov. Then it should say Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, name off all 12. So the Medrash asks this question. Are you tzorach lemeimar? Ele told us Yaakov, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. This is a Medrash in our Pasha, Pei Dalet, Osvov. Ela mata amar lema Yosef, shekol ma shi'ira lezeh, ira lezeh. Because Yosef was identical to Yaakov in every fashion. And the Medrash goes through about 15 or 20 things that were identical in the two. Yaakov was born circumcised. Yosef was born circumcised. Yaakov's mother was barren. That was Rivka. Yosef's mother was barren. Rachel. Yaakov's mother gave birth to two. That was Yaakov and Esav. And Yosef's mother gave birth to two. Yosef and Binyamin. Yaakov was the firstborn. Mazeh bechor afzeh bechor. Yaakov was the firstborn of Rivka. Now, what does it mean he was the firstborn? Esav was, but he bought it from Esav. Yosef was the firstborn of his mother. Yaakov's mother Rivka was niskashes beledo. She had difficulty by yisraitzet zu abonim bekirbo. She had great difficulty in giving birth. Yosef's mother had great difficulty in giving birth. In fact, she had great difficulty with Binyamin. Yaakov's brother hated him. Yosef's brethren hated him. Yosef's brethren wanted to kill him. Yaakov's brother wanted to kill him. This one was a shepherd. This one was a shepherd. This one was stolen. And this one was stolen. This one became wealthy. Yaakov eventually became wealthy in the house of Laban. This one became wealthy by Parai. This one had to go out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Loretz. This one had to go out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Loretz. He went to Egypt. This one married a wife from outside of Eretz Yisrael. And this one, Yosef, married a wife from outside of Eretz Yisrael. He married the daughter of Potiphar. This one gave birth to sons outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov had all of the first 11 sons outside of Eretz Yisrael. The only one that was born in Eretz Yisrael was Binyamin. And Yosef gave birth to two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and that was in the house of Parai. This one was given the prophecy through a dream that he would become great. This was the dream that Yaakov had in Beis Eil. Sulamutz Varso, a ladder went from the earth to the heaven, and this one had dreams that he would become great. This one's father-in-law's house became blessed because of him. The house of Lovan became blessed because of him, and the house of Potiphar became blessed because of Yosef. This one went down to Egypt. This one went down to Egypt. This one stopped a famine. That one stopped a famine. This one swore, the others swear that they would take him out of Egypt and bury him in Eretz Yisrael. And the same thing with Yosef. So we see uncanny resemblances. And that's why it states, Ela told this Yaakov Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov Yosef. Yosef encompassed everything. He encompassed everything of his father that all the others encompassed, put together. The Maral gives the example where you have a tree and you have branches. So Yaakov was the tree. And then he had the branches. Each son was a branch coming out of the tree. But there were only 11 branches. After the source of the tree, the trunk of the tree, you have generally another extension of the tree before the branches. And that was Yosef. So Yosef was the direct extension of Yaakov, encompassing all of his excellences. And from there came out the rest of the sons. Now, another thing we find by Yosef, but this is for the same reason. Yosef had 11 sons in the house of Lavan. He never said, it's time to go home. It was only after, this is in Parshas Vayetze, it was only after he had his 11th son, and that was Yosef, that it states, this is in Chof Gimel and Chof Dalet, Vayetze Perek Lambet, he said, Vayhi kashi yolda rochel as Yosef, Vayim Yaakov el Lavan, shalcheni ve'elchel amalkei milatzu. After Rachel gave birth to Yosef, he said to Lavan, it's time I go back home. And the sages ask, why all of a sudden now? So Rashi brings, because Yosef was sitnei shel Esav. Yosef was going to become the destroyer of Esav, the arch enemy of Yaakov. Until then, Yaakov was afraid to return. Once Yosef was born, no longer was he afraid. V'hoya beis Yaakov eish, u'beis Esav lahova, u'beis Esav lekash. Yaakov is like a fire, like burning coals, but it does not have a flame. Yosef would be the flame, and Esav would be the straw. A fire without a flame cannot do much damage. Once Yosef was born, then Yaakov felt, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. And this was because Yaakov was the source. You have burning coals, which are the source of the fire, hot coals. Yosef was the offshoot of Yaakov. He was the flame that would shoot out far. And since he encompassed all of Yaakov, therefore he was sitnei shel Esav. He would be the destroyer of Esav, because Yaakov was the only one who was capable to fight against Esav. That's why it states, Im Lavan garti v'echar ad oto, Parshas Vayishlach. He told Esav that I've been with Lavan all of these years, and I stayed until now. Medrash says, what does it mean, I stayed until now? I stayed until Yosef was born. And now Yosef is born, I have come back to confront you. And also it states, Vayhi li shor v'chamor. I have shor v'chamor. The Medrash says, shor, say Yosef. Yosef was called b'chor shor hodole. See, he has a shor. He was called the, he was given the blessing of the shore. The shore is the bull. He says, I have a bull. This is Yosef. Now the Gemara tells us even further. But from here we're able to, this explanation, we're able to understand the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Seita, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. It says, Ela told this Yaakov, here, Tanya, Hoyeroi Yosef, Lotzeis Mimenu Yud Beishvotim. Yosef really was capable of giving birth to the 12 tribes himself. Yosef was capable of giving birth to the 12 tribes himself. Now, this is quite a statement. Because only Yaakov could give birth to Shvotim, to the 12 tribes. Because only Yaakov could give from his abilities into the 12 foundations of Israel. Yet here it tells us that Yosef also could have done it. Because Yosef had inherited all of Yaakov. So it said that Hoya Yosef Roy Lotzeis Bimenu Yud Beishvotim. He was capable of giving birth to the 12 tribes himself. Kederech Shiyotsu Mi Yaakov Aviv. Just like his father gave birth to the 12 tribes. As it states, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, because all of the generations
And all of the products of Yaakov was Yosef. And therefore he inherited all of it to him. He could have given birth to his own 12 tribes. What happened? He lost the skus. He lost the merit. And the Ubda, in the case with the wife of Potiphar, there he came into greatness of righteousness. But the sages say he didn't do anything wrong, but he was tempted a bit. He had in mind, see, to do something wrong. And then he saw the image of his father, and then he ran away. So not that that was so wrong, so serious, but to climb to the level of Yaakov Avinu it was. So he lost it. So because of that, he gave birth to two, but these two became tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. When Yaakov in Parshas Vayechi come down and he says, these are your sons, you brought them up in Egypt, Ki Reuven v'Shimon yuli, they will be like Reuben and Shimon. They will not be grandchildren. They will be reckoned together with my sons, the best of the tribes. And they were given the squeeze. They were given all the legal rights of all of the tribes. Reuben, Ephraim, and Manasseh. They were given their own flag. They were given their own campsite and marching site and position in the Digle Amidbor. They were given their own Yerushal, inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, together with the Shvatim. Then the Gemara says, so what happened to the other 10? So the other 10 never became tribes. But there was Yotzim and Binyamin. There was a strong bond between Yosef and Binyamin. We once gave a special shir on that, on Yosef and Binyamin. There was a strong bond between the two. They were the two sons of Rochel. And Binyamin had 10 sons. And he named all of them after his brother Yosef, because his 10 sons he had when Yosef already was lost. And he named them all. Afal became Yotze mi Binyamin Echov v'kula nikra al shmai. And they were all called after Yosef. And it goes into what all the names were. Each name described an episode in the tragedy of Yosef's life, or whatever it was that he thought of his brother. So eventually they were born, but not at the level of the Shvatim, except Ephraim and Manasseh. So this was the greatness of Yosef. Now, now we can understand many of the questions that we asked. For example, why does it say that Yaakov, Ohav es Yosef mikol bonav, he loved Yosef more than all of his children? Why does it say Ve'oselek senes pasim, he made for him a coat of many colors? And this was not just a question, he was giving him a garment more than the others. Not at all. He made for him a coat of many colors because he wanted to separate him and elevate him above all of the other brothers. This was a coat of royalty. This was a coat to designate that he was the Bechor. He was the firstborn. And he would reign. And he gave him Pishnayim. The din is, the loch is, the firstborn gets a double portion. He gave to Yosef a double portion, Ephraim and Manasseh. Every son received one portion in the inheritance. Yosef was divided up into two portions, Ephraim and Manasseh. From Yosef came two campsites. From Yosef came two flags. From Yosef came two tribes, two princesses. This was the Pishnai. If you look in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov says to Yosef, this is in Bereishis, Mem ches posuk of base. Bani nosati lochosh chem achad alachecho. I am going to give to you shem achad, above and beyond what your brothers have, which I have taken, which I have taken from the Amori with my swords and my arrows. There's two explanations in this, Rashi brings from the sages. One is, what did he give Yosef extra than all of the other sons? He gave to Yosef extra, the one explanation is, the city of Shechem. There's a city of Shechem in Eretz Yisrael, and that was given to Yosef, special, besides his inheritance. And Yosef was buried in that city. And he said, I'm going to give you the city of Shechem because you are concerned and you will care for my burial. Therefore, in return for this, I will give you an extra piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, the city of Shechem, for your burial. And Shechem is what I took from the Amori. This was the king of Shechem and his son, Becharbi Bekashti, through warfare. This was the war of Shimon and Levi. That's one explanation. But there's another explanation Rashi brings. Shechem doesn't mean the city of Shechem. Shechem means a portion. I will give you an extra portion. I'm not talking about the city of Shechem. I will give you an extra portion over and beyond the other brothers. And what will that extra portion be? That extra portion will be Ephraim and Manasseh. You will not be one tribe like all of your other brothers, but you will be reckoned as two tribes. Ephraim and Manasseh will come from you. Reuben and Shimon, they will be like Reuben and Shimon. And you will have all of the privileges and all of the rights, not of one tribe, but of two tribes. And why will I give you this extra portion? Rashi says, because you are my firstborn. And a firstborn gets a double portion. And where did I get this double portion to give to you? The double portion, my firstborn rights, which I had to take from the Amori. Who are the Amori? Esav, who was like an Amori. Or Esav, Amori means words, who used to be tzod. He used to hunt out our father Yitzchok with words of deceit. And I had to wrestle from him the firstborn right. And that's how I became a firstborn, even though I was not born a firstborn. This I will give to you, even though you were not born the firstborn, you were not Reuven, I will give to you. That's what it means, Shechem Echot. And what does it mean, Becharbi Bekashti? He didn't take it from Esav with a sword and arrow. So Rashi brings, which I took from Esav, my sword and arrow means Chochmosai Usfilosai, with my wisdom and my prayer. And that's how the Targum Unkelus learns. He learns on this posuk. He says, Bitzlesi uvavuosi, which I took from you, from him, with my tefillos, my prayers, and my wisdom. Now, from here we can understand another thing. And this the Vilna Gaon brings. If we look at the brachas in Parshas Vayechi, it's strange. But the expression bracha, the word bracha, we do not find mentioned at all by all 12 sons. Not once. With the exception of Yosef. And by Yosef, not only do we find it mentioned once, but we find it mentioned 6 times. This is in Bosuk Chof Hei, Memtes Chof Hei, Me'elo Vicho Vayazreko Ve'eshadai Vivocheko, Birchei Shomai Me'ol, Birchei Stom Revetzis Tochas, Birchei Shodai Verocham. In that Bosuk alone, you have Brocha 4 times. Birchei Zodicho Govro Al Birchei Horai, and there you have Brocha mentioned another 2 times. And then it states that the Brochas that I have Yaakov said, that I received from Yitzchok and Avraham, my brachas were expanded even more than theirs. Tiena l'reish Yosef, I give them all to you. They shall all fall upon your head. The brachas that Avraham gave to Yitzchok, and that Yitzchok wanted to give to Esav, but Yaakov managed to get them from Esav, these brachas he gave to Yosef. The other brachas were brachas, but they were not the equal brachas, the main brachas of Avraham and Yitzchok. But these brachas he gave to Yosef for the reasons that we mentioned. And we find that Yosef was an enormous bal brocha. Anything he touched turned to gold. We see in the story, wherever he went, Motzochein, Shechina was always with him. It states consistently. House of Potiphar, in the dungeon, by Parai, wherever. He became the heir to the brochers. Now, so now we can understand further. Firstly, we find that the most elaborate brochers given in general by Yaakov was to two sons. And there was Yosef and Yehuda. Now we can understand what the Ksenis Pasim was. See, I'm not talking here merely of a garment. And we can understand now what the Machlekes was. What was going on between the brothers. This was not just a question of who did the father favor. The destiny of Yisrael and the world was dependent on this thinking. Who was to become the king of the brothers and the king of Israel, and from there would go out kings to the world. Now the brothers held that it would be Yehuda, in which they were right. Lo Yosef shevet mi Yehuda, that from David HaMelech onward to the Melech HaMashiach, the kings will come from Yehuda. He's the Ari, he's the lion. And here we see, and the firstborn should be Reuven. If not Reuven, it should be Shimon. If not Shimon, then Levi. If not Levi, then Yehuda. Here we see all of a sudden a young upstart. Enormous abilities, enormous qualities. But he's usurping the sovereignty and the firstborn rights. And he is throwing out of order the destiny of Yisrael and the destiny of the world, that will affect Malchus forever. It will affect even the perfection of the world, because the ultimate perfection of the world came during the time of David HaMelech, and then again during the time of the seed of David, of the Melech HaMashiach. So now we can understand why they hated him. And we also now understand Yosef's dreams. Yosef's dreams were a vision of prophecy. And they all came true. They all bowed to Yosef. He was going to become a great king. And even the sun and the moon. Even the sun, even Yaakov, his father. And even his mother. Even though his mother was already dead. So it states that was the mother's maidservant, Bilhah, that brought him up as a mother. They all bowed to him. These were his visions of Nebuah, prophecy. And the father understood this, and he said, Halavai, I should see the day. Because he saw in Yosef what he had. But the brothers saw in this a Novi Sheker. They saw a false prophet. What would happen if someone comes all of a sudden with all kind of dreams and all kind of maisim, and he starts to make statements against Torah's Moshe, against the Torah of Moshe? We put him to death. He's a false prophet. This is what they saw in this. And they saw him misleading his father. They saw in him another Esav. Because Esav had misled his father. Yitzchok was ready to give away the brochas, all of the brochas to Esav. If Rivka didn't intervene. And therefore, the more they heard his dreams, the more they hated him. And that's why Vayigar Boyovid, his father told him, keep quiet. Be clever. If you're having dreams like that, good, but keep them to yourself. Otherwise, you can end up in a pit in the middle of the desert. And this is why they decided that they have to put him to death. They have to eliminate him. And we see, as mentioned, there were two people mentioned by name in that episode, and that was Reuven and Yehuda. Reuven first decided to save him, and then Yehuda. Reuven first, because Reuven was by birth the firstborn. He was the eldest. And the sages bring, and Rashi brings there, Ani bechor v'gorol shebekulam. He says, I am the oldest, and by birth I am the firstborn. When eventually they find out who killed Yosef, the blame will come on me, because I am, after all, the firstborn and the oldest. And therefore he intervened. And he says, leave him alone. Just put him in the pit, don't kill him. And the Torah testifies, Reuven did this to save him. And Leah, his mother, had prophesied this when she gave birth to Reuven. Because in Parshas Vayetze, she gave birth to Reuven, and she called him Reuven. Why did she choose that name? She chose that name. There's a simple reason. But then Rashi brings a Droshes Chazal. It's a Gemara in Masechta Brochis and Av Chesam Beis. The Gemara says, this is a posuk in Lamed Beis, Perechov Tes Lamed Beis. So the Rashi brings Rabbi Senu Pirshu. Omru, she said. See, Reuven comes from two words. Reu, see, Bain, my son. See how great my son will be, she prophesied. And how greater he'll be even than previous sons. Even sons of my father-in-law. Of my father-in-law Yitzchok. Because Ma bein b'ni leven chomi, shemochar abecheira leYaakov. The son of my father-in-law, that was Esav, the son of Yaakov's father Yitzchok. Esav legally sold his firstborn birthright to Yaakov, and after that, he wanted to kill him for it. Two reasons he wanted to kill Yaakov. He says, firstly, he stole my birthright, and then he stole my brochas. Now, legally, he sold it to him. And he sold it to him, he was not forced. He sold it to him with goodwill. And still he wanted to kill him. Reuven will happen that his birthright will be taken away by force. And it'll be given to Yosef. Lemochra leYosef. So Reuven should hate Yosef for that. B'le'ira elov, not only did not protest it, el shebikesh le'tzia min abor, but he still wanted to save his life. In other words, Reuven should have been the one who should have wanted to kill him more than anyone else, because Yosef had usurped his firstborn birthright. So Reuven, see the difference between my son, Uben Chomi, and the son of my father-in-law. The son of my father-in-law legally sold his firstborn birthright to Yaakov. And still, he wanted to kill Yaakov for taking it. And my son, the birthright will be taken away from him by force and given to Yosef. And not only he did not hate Yosef, did not protest against it, but he even went to save him from the boar. That's why Reuven is mentioned there. Yehuda was the second person involved. See, these were the two main players in this episode. Yehuda also should have wanted to kill Yosef more than any of the other brothers, because he was usurping his royalty, his kingship. Nevertheless, at the last minute, Yehuda said, no, it's not right. He was the Baal Reiv. No, it's not right. He says, why should you kill him? Let's rather sell him. And our hands should not be full of his blood because he's our own brother. Now the Chazal tell us that when they came, see, Yaakov was no fool. And he knew what was going on. And when they came to the father, and they came, they took the coat, and they put blood on it from a goat, and they came to the father, and they said, "Zeis matzonu, do you recognize this? Haker na haksenis bincha hi imlay." This is in Bereishis Lamed Zayin Posuk Lamed Beis. We found this. Do you recognize this? Or is it the coat of your son or not? By Akiro. By Emexenis Bini. He recognized it. And he says, it's the coat of my son. But he had a second intention also. He recognized something else also. He didn't swallow the story. He said, Chayero achlosuhu. Torov toraf Yosef. A wild animal tore him. They have torn Yosef. The Chazal said that he had in the back of his mind a lion had tore him. Yehuda. Say, yes, I recognize it. And Chayaro Acholosu. A wild animal tore him. He couldn't accuse Yehuda. He had no evidence. But in the back of his mind, he said, it could have been a wild animal, an actual lion, or it could have been someone who's like a lion. Yehuda. Torov Toraf Yosef. He has torn Yosef. Because he knew what this dispute was all about, and Yehuda would be the one. When he later gave a brocha to Yehuda, in Parshas Vayechi, in Pasuk Tes, Memches Tes, he said, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Now this was after it was all clarified, what took place. That the brother sold him, and it was not Yehuda that tore him. Yosef was not killed, but it was Yehuda that saved him. They wanted to kill him, and Yehuda, in order that he shouldn't be killed, said, "Lechunim karnu lishmeilim, let us go sell him to the Arabs." So when he blessed Yehuda, he said, "Gur Aryeh Yehuda, miterf bini olisva." And the Chazal Rashi brings, what does it mean, miterev b'ni oliso? So Rashi says, mima shechosharetichu, from that I had suspected you, b'torov toraf Yosef, chayaroo achlos losu, that I said that a wild animal had torn Yosef and had made prey from him, I was wrong. And Zeo Yehuda Shinim Shel Aryeh, and I had in mind you, I was wrong. But to the contrary, Miterev Bini Olisa, from the prey which was in front of you, you retreated from. See? There was a lion, and there was prey in front of him. And he could have killed him, he could have torn him. And this is what I was koshadetichu, this is what I had secretly suspected you of. But I was wrong. He says, not only you didn't tear him, but, he says, but miterev b'ni oliso, my son was prey in front of you, and you went up away from him. And he gave him a brocha. Actually, this is summarized in Divrei Hayomim. In Divrei Hayomim, Perek Aleph, Posuk Hey, excuse me, Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Hey, Posuk Aleph. When it starts to lists the people, it states, Uvenei Ruvain, Bechor Yisrael. Ruvain and his tribe are the firstborn of Israel, the firstborn of Yaakov. Ki hu abechor, because he is the firstborn, he was born first. Uvechalele Yitzuei Oviv, but because he desecrated the bed of his father, like we mentioned, Nitno Becheirose Livnei Yosef Ben Yisrael. So the firstborn birthright was taken away from him and given to Yosef. And the yichus of the Bechora did not go to Ruvein. Some learn this refers to Ruvein, or this refers to Yosef, that even though the firstborn birthright was given to him, but not the full yichus, not all of the honors of the firstborn birthright. Why? Ki Yehuda govar be'echov, because Yehuda rose up above all of his brethren, ulenogid mimenu, and he became king, but the habecheira le Yosef, but the firstborn birthright was to Yosef. So here we see the whole dynamics that is taking place in this episode. As I mentioned, we won't be able to cover everything, so we're going to have to stop now. But what there is still from the questions that we asked left to answer is that why was Yosef punished for all of this? And he went for the 21 years into Egypt. And why was Yehuda punished for all of this? And he went down, he was thrown down by his brothers. And then Yehuda had an episode with Tamar, and Yosef has all of his episodes and adventures in Egypt. And this, in Yitz Hashem, we will continue, not next Wednesday night, as mentioned, that will be the Shir for Hanukkah, but the following Wednesday night, Parshas Vayigash.
The Yeshiva Gedolah hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional Shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.